This episode is brought to you by Podcast Go, which is a full-service mobile podcast studio that comes to you. Podcast Go takes care of everything from distribution on podcast platforms, digital art, video production, editing, and music. This is currently open to enterprise and medium-level businesses at the moment. Send me an email to get started, alamodigitalagency@gmail.com.
Welcome to the Joshua Morales Podcast.
All right, so just for a little bit of context, what's your background and how did you start doing what you're doing now?
Okay, so I've been in the world of health and fitness since I'm about 22 years old. I took a liking to working out, and the reason I liked being physically fit at that age, back then it was about vanity, but it was primarily the fact that I had control over what I looked like and how I felt. So that was the most appealing thing for me, kind of joining the whole health and fitness movement. Then I became good at it. You know, I got certified as a fitness trainer through the, International Sports Science Association, and then a nutritionist. And I got into it more, became a full-time fitness trainer. I found stability in something where people normally don't find stability. And the reason I was able to find stability, I believe, is because of my ability to connect with people. So the health and fitness thing has kind of been something that I've been into all these years and has led to where I am today, which is my company that I have, Beauty and Beast Cuisine.
Nice. So real fast, are you that industry within, working out and of course that the whole industry, you have to be extroverted. Are you an extrovert or are you an introvert?
Well, look, man, definitely won't believe this, but I like my alone time. I prefer not to talk to people for the most part, which would make me introverted. But if you look at my videos and everything that I do, you would think that I'm definitely a social butterfly. But the reason I became that person was because I found out pretty quickly that in order for me to create an empire, there had to be a certain amount of transparency that I had to show to the public. So I felt that in order for me to build my company to the heights and levels that I want to get to, I had to become that persona. I had to be, a person that was talking about my dream. I had to be a person that was talking about my doubts, my insecurities, my failures, of course, my success as well. But to me, it was kind of documenting that whole path that is could be very uncomfortable. When I made the decision to talk about my heroin addiction days, it was a real personal story, but I also felt that it was kind of my obligation to share it, because it was like, here I had the gift and the privilege to experience that and make it out. So I felt that story had some power and can definitely inspire some people. So, I decided to take that approach of being, a little bit of both, introvert.
I completely agree with you, man. I think a lot of people that I interview now, they fall in between the introverted and extroverted, and they feel like when they talk to a lot of people or in front of a lot of people, it just exhausts them. Like, they leave it all out there and like, all right, I'm done for the day. Like, they're exhausted, man.
And that's a trade off, bro. It's like you when you make a choice and a decision that you want to be more, there's a large amount of energy that you have to invest. When it comes to learning, expressing yourself, surrounding yourself with certain people and energies, and definitely when you're expressing yourself constantly, well, that requires a lot of energy, which means you're going to, it's going to drain you. So there is a small sacrifice that you have to pay for that. Definitely.
So I know you were talking about obviously going into the working out industry, and now you're doing other things as well. But I feel like there's a ton of people that are going through life that don't really know what they want to do. So they try a bunch of stuff, and a lot of people label them like, oh, they're unstable. I don't want to be with this person. They're too iffy, and they're doing all these things.
Right.
Do you think that's necessarily a bad thing, or is it a good thing? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, look, I mean, we have to be realistic in the area of like, there was a time when I didn't know what to do. There was like, when I came back from addiction, I felt lost. So the way I found clarity and I found myself at that point, one of the things that I told myself was that I said, okay, I'm not sure what I want. Like, I wasn't sure. But what I didn't know was that I wanted success. So I did it kind of like, and I'm not super religious or anything, but I did it kind of in a prayer format to where, you know, I told God, the universe, I said, you know what? I want success. I want to better myself. So I felt that I left the window of opportunity open, and I had to have the ability to identify an opportunity when I saw it. And when I saw that opportunity, I took it. You know, in my case, it was meeting my wife, her making food for me, and me recognizing that she had a unique product that I can move and I can sell, you know? So did I know that I was going to start a company? No, I didn't. Did I know that I was, you know, we were going to come up with a protein donut that was going to be, you know, popular? No, I didn't. But I was able to see the opportunity, and I was also able to see the amount of work that it was going to take that opportunity and actually make it something. So that's kind of the approach that I took with that, you know. So if you're lost, if you feel lost, that's completely normal. Like, it'd be kind of strange if you knew from day one what you're going to do. You know, being lost is normal. But what's not normal is staying lost. You know, it's staying lost in that feeling of not knowing what to do, where the weeks go by, the months go by, the years go by, and you're still lost. So finding clarity to me is saying, I want to be successful. I want better things for myself. And then having the awareness to identify when that shows up.
Yeah, I hear a ton about people not liking change. So, like, for example, for me, when I was starting my business, I had to cut off a lot of things, a lot of friends. And they were like, well, you change. And nobody likes that. Yeah. Nobody likes change, man.
Yeah. It sucks.
It's hard.
It sucks, man. Yeah, it is. You know, when I decided to change myself, you know, I had a certain reputation of, you know, being vanity guy, the guy that's just about his body and, you know, selfish and, you know, chicks and, you know, pretty much the same, you know, reputation that any fitness trainer has. Mm-hmm. So when I decided to change, it was difficult because it's like people see you, they see who you used to be. And when you're trying to present a different person, right, because you're making some changes, that is confusing to certain people. So those people, if they're truly your friends, they accept the change and go along with you. The reason that we disconnect from people is because we notice that those people are bothered with change. And we're able to recognize that in order for us to create a different life, you know, whatever that may be, you know that those people that are seeing the old you affects you. And that's why cutting those ties is so important. And another thing that makes it really hard is that it might be a person that you really love. You know, it might be like you might have this loyalty to this person, and to sever that relationship, to cut those ties is a part of it. You know, you feel a little sad. You know, you wish that this person would have been along the ride with you and accepted you and kind of, you know, wish the best for you. But if you don't see that, you have to cut those ties. And that's why change is hard, man. That's why there's a study that shows that after the age of 25, the odds of you changing are fucking slim.
Wow.
You know, because it's like the only way, like, you look at me, I changed that, you know, I had my rock bottom at 31, but I changed because of trauma. You know, I was in rehabs, homeless, you know, fucking heroin addict, crackhead, all this shit. So I hit rock bottom, and that trauma catapulted me to change, and I realized where I was at. So there's a big baggage that one carries when you decide to change, and it is very freaking hard.
Yeah, nobody ever really talks about the struggles in life, and a lot of people are just going through life. That social media image of the perfect person, the pictures of family,
yeah.
I think that stuff is just a lot of bullshit. And life isn't like that, man.
No, it's not, dude. It's fucking hilarious. Like, people tell me, like, man, dude, like, you built the company, that's so amazing, and like, fuck, you got these stores now, and da-da-da. And I'm like, dude, like, you're seeing the end result, you know? But what you should be asking me is, how the fuck did you get there? Like, how difficult was it? And it's the process is what we should be talking about, not the result, because the result may be misleading. Like, you're like, oh, wow, look, this guy's doing this and this and that. I can do that, you know? But going into something and realizing how much work it's going to take, that's what we need to be hearing more of.
Yeah, definitely. And then also, now that you started all this, it's a whole nother venture. It's a whole nother thing now. So you touched on success. What does success look like to you?
It's one of the things for me is being the most important thing, obviously, for me, it's being happy and being fulfilled. You know, I felt I'm as happy now as I was when I got back from addiction, man. I felt I had a second shot. You know, I felt, you know, having another opportunity to rebuild myself in those moments when a person might have said, man, I'm broke. I don't have anything. Like, man, I only have a couple of pair of pants and a tennis shoes and a couple of shirts. You know, even in those moments for me, it was like I was able to recognize that I have a second opportunity, that I felt fulfilled because of that. And I went forward with that. So success to me is being happy and, of course, having financial freedom. Not stability, financial freedom. That to me is success.
No, I completely agree. When I was working with my last company, and I got pushed out, and I asked them, like, well, what's the deal? I said, I'm only into money. At that time, you know, I probably was, and I still have money. Money has a lot to do with a lot of, like, financial freedom. I'm all about that. So that goes into my next question. Selfishness. Do you think it's necessary for an entrepreneur, for anybody, to be a little selfish sometimes?
Absolutely, dude. Being selfish is what got me where I'm at today. When I became selfish is when everything changed. Because now all your energy is being funneled to you. You're not sharing that energy. Now, being selfish is, you know, when people hear the word selfish, it's like, you know, they take it in a way where it's negative. They're like, man, dude, but you shouldn't be that selfish. You know, it shouldn't be all about you, you know. But the thing is, if you want to be in a position to help, if you want to be in a position to influence, you must be fucking selfish. Like, that's the only way that you can get to a point where you can help somebody. Because if you're broken, how can you help me if I'm broken? You know what I mean? Right. Like, I cannot influence you or help you if I am lost. So in order to find yourself, there has to be that selfishness to you, you know, and that's kind of my feelings towards that.
Awesome. So I remember you talking a while. Oh, actually, you had posted something on Facebook. It was a picture of you on a TV program, and you were a Universal artist, and you said you were hooked on drugs. How?
Yes.
That's mind-boggling to me, because a lot of people think that once they're drug addicted, all this stuff, that they can never change their life. What was going on in your life at that time?
You know, it's the thoughts that any person that's depressed gets, which means I'm alone. I tried and I couldn't, you know, I saw no progress. And because of that, I started to dwell even more. You know, I was shooting up to 24 times a day, dude. Like,
wow.
I mean, I'm talking a guy, I was done. I was gone. You know, my mom, my family let me go because they noticed that, you know, I just didn't want to change and I couldn't. They let me go, which that's the time when I became homeless. And it was real scary, man. There was times that there was two instances that were pretty monumental for me. There was a person that saw me walking from the bridge, under the bridge, to a crack house that I was heading to. And they pulled over because they recognized me. And they said, Carlos, and I was weighing about 185 pounds. And they're like, hey, like, they looked at me like, what happened to you? And I remember trying to fake it, right? You know, I was like, oh, I'm fine. I'm just doing cardio. You know, I try, like, fucking, it's like hilarious. Like, I looked horrible. And that person left. And then I told myself, I was like, oh my God, like, the people that I would see on TV that are lost, and like, I'm that person now, you know? So I was drowning in despair and just depression, man. It was really hard.
So what was it that made you decide that enough was just enough?
I remember fear. Fear is what did it. Towards the end, the last rehabilitation center that I did was in Mexico, in Cancun. And I remember coming back and thinking to myself that I really wanted to do more heroin. And my body was craving it madly. And in that moment, I remember thinking and praying. I got home and I got on my knees. And this part I talk about pretty often. It's in my book. I talk about where I fall to my knees and I'm praying, right? And it's pretty typical, you know, when we're lost, we like to pray because you're lost. And I got on my knees and I told God that you've seen me try. You have seen me try to leave this drug, and I cannot. I cannot do it. I need help. Like, I need somebody to help me. And I remember, and this sounds kind of like movie-like, but my sister always had the radio playing in the kitchen. And a song by Michael Jackson, the one that Man in the Mirror came out.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard the lyrics, dude, and I just started crying, dude. It was like, I'm asking you to change his ways. No message could have been any clearer. If you want to make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and make a change. And when I heard that, my next thought was, I remember I had an uncle who lived in Mexico that used to be a drug addict, but was now he was a drug rehab counselor. So in that moment, between the fear of me dying a heroin addict and knowing that my children would say, my father was a heroin addict, that fear allowed me to start my change. You know, that's when I moved over. I moved to Mexico City. I moved to Puerto Vallarta.
Wow. And this was going on while you had children already.
Correct. Yes, sir.
Wow. Yeah. Wow, man. Children is crazy, dude. Like, family, the way you just position your life and how everything falls, I'm sure you're a huge inspiration to your children now.
Yeah, I mean, especially with the company, man, because everything that's happened today that we're in, I told them would happen when it started, which is really awesome because they get to see what hard work does, what thinking does, what being cautious does, you know. So it's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Dude, I'm very, very fortunate in the fact that my kids actually remember day one of the company.
Which that's awesome. And that started in an apartment, right?
Yeah, we had a little apartment, man, that we started in.
So let's talk about Beauty and the Beast Cuisine. How did that start?
Well, you know, like I said, when I was lost and I came back and I was looking for opportunity, I realized that being a fitness trainer was not going to get me where I wanted. Those were my thoughts at that point. So, you know, I started to get into, you know, the classic motivational, you know, videos and books. And I started to realize that I started to believe that I had full control of my life and that I decided what happened. So when I took on that mindset, that way of thinking, along with, you know, attracting success in my life, and I also wanted to find a wife. I was like, I want to get married. Like, I really wanted that. Like, I was like, I had already done the whole thing of being a, you know, player and all that. I was like, I want a woman that wants to be with me, and I want to be with him, and I want to build something with that person. So I wrote a letter to my wife before meeting her. It was like a 2-page letter. And in that letter, I talked about how much I cared for her and loved her and that our life was beautiful along those lines. So I'm a little more descriptive, but I talk about that. 2 weeks later after that, I meet my wife, Francesca.
Wow.
It's funny. And so I meet her. I immediately would be like the weirdo that I am. I was like, I wanted to fucking marry her. Like, I just, and she, of course, that didn't ring too well with her. It was kind of like, this guy's fucking weird. You know, it's like, hey, calm down, like, slow down. We just met and all that. So fast forward, you know, 4 or 5 months, you know, me loving her and caring for her, I move out of my sister's house and I rent a tiny little apartment. And I told her, I was like, why don't you try moving in with me? Like, let's, you know, move in. And I convinced her, you know, I'm a good salesperson. So she moves in and she's in my apartment. And then she realizes that I'm spending a lot of money on food. So she's like, you know what? Let me start cooking for you. So she starts making meals for me. And I'm like, holy shit, this tastes really good. And it was like, holy shit, it's healthy and it tastes good. So to me, it was like, the next question was like, can she do 300 plates, like taste the same as this one plate that I'm eating right now? So that was the venture, man. We started there and I started telling clients that, you know, that I'm selling food, that's healthy food. And I pretty much donated my furniture to somebody that needed it. And in my little apartment, I was paying $500 a month in rent. The bottom floor, it was a 2-story, the bottom floor, I converted it into a kitchen. I rigged 2 ovens, 3 fridges, and a freezer.
Wow.
And it was a full-on kitchen in the bottom, dude. And I had this rule. I was like, I'm not going to leave this apartment unless the business tells me to leave it. And honestly, that has been the smartest thing that I did, because when I left my apartment, we're making somewhere between 400 to 450 meals a week.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
So, yeah. So we're generating some cash. And that was kind of the beginning, man.
That's awesome. So working with your wife, I know for me personally, when I was starting this whole venture, I was switching out careers My wife was like, oh, man, you're doing something else now. It's scary.
Yeah. Yeah.
So a lot of times I don't get support from a lot of people that I would like to have support. But how is it working with your wife? Because I see y'all's post all the time, and it seems to work.
Yeah, it does, man. Look, that is a question that I get pretty often. Like, man, you guys work together. You don't get each other's throats, and you don't get pissed off. I'll be honest with you. The first 6 months were the most difficult months when it came to our relationship and work. It was a lot of like, you know, you meet somebody, and when you meet somebody, you show up to that relationship with luggage. Okay. So it's like, for example, somebody's hurt you in the past, you know, those walls that are keeping you safe are the same walls that are keeping out opportunity and a new love. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's kind of like unloading that luggage together and being able to get to a point where let's start our life without this luggage so it doesn't affect our present and our future. So I felt that I was able to do that really well with her, and which brought a lot of clarity in the relationship. And us working together has been great, man. It was, the first 3 years was tough, and not us working together is just the amount of work that we were doing together. But yeah, it was challenging the first 6-7 months for sure.
Wow. So do you feel anybody can become an entrepreneur?
Shit. No, dude. Like, I would probably said yes a long time ago, but the reality is that the entrepreneur game is a game of evolution, and if you are not growing, you're dying, and that is a fact. And what I mean by that is my company, like right now, this year, you know, the first year we made about, you know, 45,000, 50,000, something like that year, which is great for the fucking first year. You know, and I wasn't paying rent, I wasn't paying shit, so it was all for us. The second year we made like 600,000, and then the third year was a million. Fourth year was 2.2 million. I don't know if it was the second or third year, but we made 2.2 million that year with one store.
Nice.
One store did that. And then the following year we did 2.9 million. I was fucking hoping we did three, but we did 2.9. This year we'll do somewhere between 3.5 to 3.8 million in sales. The reason I'm telling you that is that the person that I was when I started and the person I am today is a completely different person. So if you're not into change, if you're not into evolution, you will die. Your company will perish, because the only way, it's like a child. I always compare it to a baby. When you have a baby, does your baby stay at 1 year old?
Nope.
No. He grows to 2, and he grows to 3, and he grows to 5, 10, 15. And what we're trying to do is to ensure that our child has all the tools that so he's able to do well in school and in life, right? So for me, the child is the company. And the child, you're the parent. So if you're not able to give this company, this child, the tools, your child would not do well in life. And in the entrepreneur world, if you have a service or a company, you must be into evolution and you must be into change, because if you're not, you're wasting time.
I love that analogy. I've never heard it like that. So sales is probably one of the hardest professions in the world, and it's probably one of the most rewarding. What is the most valuable skill you think that somebody should learn, and why?
Well, sales. Yeah, for me, it's like, if you don't have sales, you don't have shit. I mean, that's just the raw reality. Some people like to have plans and all these kinds of shit, and then they have no sales skills. So you don't have no company. You need money. You need to pay people. You need to pay yourself. You need money. So, for example, I had a talk at the UTRGV. The professor, John Sargent, invited me to speak to some business kids that are in college. So one of the questions that I got asked was like, did you have a business plan? And I said, no, I did not have a business plan. I was broke. And that urgency allowed me to create something. So the first thing that I felt that was very, very valuable is my ability to sell a product. That was like the number one thing. I started to sell something I believed in. And it's really important. If you want to do something great, if you want to reach some kind of numbers that are just like, wow, not the norm, you really have to believe in what you're selling. So to me, having a sales persona or recognizing that you do have to sell, that was my thing, because for me it was like, if I can sell a lot of food, a lot of plates, and you know, if I can sell, the most we sold right now has been 27,000 meals in a week.
Wow.
So for me it was like, if I can hit those numbers, then I could start to form a company and I could start to bring in the right people, so I'm able to form a good company that can last 10, 15, 20 years. So selling to me, bro, is like the number one thing, man. Before you start anything, you better be selling.
So you're pretty much telling me, like, it doesn't matter how you start, just start.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Because the thing is, there's so many, especially now, man, there's so much information out there. You know, it could get confusing. So, and I recognize that. So sell until you start to see that your numbers are growing. And then you start to see, you know what? I think this is working. I think I can do something now. So that was the route that I took, man.
So one of your hats is also your motivational speaker. Yes. It took me years to actually get off the couch and do something. I remember, like, I was listening to motivational stuff like for 4 years before I decided, you know what? Fuck this. I'm going to go do something. Right. Do you ever feel like it's a waste of time for most people?
What do you mean? A waste of time for what?
Waste time, like, listening to motivation, because I know for a fact that there's a ton of people that just won't do anything.
Okay, yeah, I get you. Okay, so look, when it comes to that, so when you listen to something motivational, what you're trying to do is to reprogram your subconscious mind, because you have the conscious mind and you have the subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is pretty much what you've learned throughout your life. It's the habits you have that you're trying to break. And those habits are really, really ingrained in your thinking, and you recognize it and you're trying to change. But what most people don't connect the dots with is that there is a world of repetition involved. And that's where people normally kind of, they kind of give up and fall off the wagon, is that they listen to it, they feel a little better for a moment, and then their normal way of thinking kicks back in and you're back at the same spot. So listen to motivational speeches and talks. It's a positive thing, but let's not get confused. It takes a lot more than that.
Yeah,
I agree. You know what I mean? So that's just a little bit of fuel to get you going, but it does help.
All right, so you're also an author. Now, yes. Built From Nothing is your book, and you currently have it on Amazon, correct?
Yes, sir.
What was the reason why you wanted to write this book?
The reason I wanted to write it, man, when I started that book, I had an end result in mind. I was like, you know, I never had thought about writing a book, really. But I got really inspired because I felt that, you know, I work a lot with the future. Like, I use a lot of my future potential as fuel. So I told myself, if I have a book of when I started, I believe in 5-10 years, this book will have more value because it's coming from a perspective of a beginner. So all that book is pretty much from my life coming out of addiction and how I built the company to that point, which has grown a lot more since then. So I just felt, and I also like the fact that if I died, I had that book that my kids could go and see my story. So, you know, those are honestly the primary reasons why I did it.
Gotcha. Who's this book perfect for?
It's perfect for the person that's looking for inspiration. It's perfect for the person that wants to make a change. And when a person wants to make change, when you say, I want to change, like when you really are serious about that decision, your brain, your mind, your awareness is going to instinctively look for fuel for that change. So if you're in a position right now that you're in a transition spot, like you feel like you're not where you want to be, but you know you need to get moving, this book will help you.
Awesome. That's good to hear, man. I think we need a lot more like that, stuff like that here in the Valley specifically.
Shit, yeah, dude. Absolutely.
So I cannot go without talking about advertising. Of course, I'm a digital marketer, but from the digital marketing aspect, you all use quite a bit of ads on Facebook and Instagram for Beauty and the Beast Cuisine. How's that working for you?
Okay, so I had a huge, huge breakthrough almost 5 years ago. I got into a guy that you're into also, Gary Vaynerchuk. So close to 5 years ago, I listened to this fucking hour seminar he had. And in that seminar, almost 5 years ago, he said, and this to me, this was a game changer for the company. He said, if right now you have $1,000, he said, put it into social media, Facebook, one day. And I was like, $1,000 of an advertisement in one day? This guy's fucking crazy. And I was like, fuck it. Why would I do that? I was like, fuck. And I heard the whole seminar and I was like, it made a lot of sense to me. Like, I see why he was saying it. It was just, it felt very risky. So what I did, I didn't have $1,000 to put down. I had 300. So what I did, I told my wife, I said, you know what, babe? You know, she's got a degree in advertisement and marketing. And I said, all right, you know what, babe? I don't have a fucking degree, but I'm pretty fucking creative. I was like, so we kind of did something that we felt was smart and creative and that the people would like. And we fucking said, all right, let's do it, babe. Let's put $300 in one day. So we put $300 in one day and we sold $5,000 in that day.
Nice.
So it was like, I thought I had found the holy grail, dude. It was like, holy shit. And then I noticed that nobody was doing it at that time, really, here in the Valley. So what I did, dude, I went all fucking in, man. Like, that's why I went from, like, you know, a couple hundred thousand in a year of sales to a million, dude. Like, it was like, I grew, my company grew 6 times in 1 year.
Nice. That's awesome.
1,000 meals to 5,000 to 10,000 to 15,000 meals a week. It was just like, and it was the social media that did it. Like, radio, TV, all that other shit wasn't as powerful, obviously. But another thing that I also did, it was social media and believe it or not,
flyers. Dude.
I'm real gung-ho on this shit. It's really old school, but I have a little network that I do with homeless people right now where I pay them. I see them in the corners. So it's like, I kind of employ them, but it's like, I give them a stack of flyers. They're there in the street anyways. I was like, you guys pass this out to all the cars and I'll pay you $50. They're like, fuck. So I've been doing that. I've been doing that for several years now, and it's been pretty.
That's pretty badass. So how many locations do you have right now?
Right now we have two in Brownsville. My second store is about to open next week. We have two in Brownsville. We have one in Harlingen. We have one in McAllen. We have one in Edinburgh. We have a store inside of Spectrum, and I'm about to open a Mission in about 3 to 4 weeks. So 7
That's
stores.
That's pretty badass, right? Man. That's, congratulations, bro.
Thank you, man.
Planning
Thank
on you. Going into San Antonio market, Corpus?
Yeah. Look, you know, the biggest protection that I feel a company has, and I learned this to Grant Cardone, is growing. So when I opened up my second store in McAllen, my very first store, second store, it was real scary, man, because it was like, it wasn't necessarily the best time to grow. It wasn't the best time to put in, because I didn't get it. We didn't have, our credit was the shit. So I had to use our money. So, you know, this cost us about $120,000 to put up. But when I did that, and, you know, our Beauty and Beast Cuisine store in McAllen in the first year, it made a little over $1 million in the first fucking year, dude. So it was like, holy shit. So I understood even more how important it is to grow. Like, it is so, so important, but it's also so, so scary, you know, because there's so much foreign ground that you're going into that you don't know what the fuck to do. So, but your wants, your desire has to kind of exceed that fear and give you the confidence to say, I'm going to figure it out.
Do you ever have the fear that one day it's just, like, from one day to the next, it's just going to be gone? I have that fear as an entrepreneur every single day.
Fuck yeah. And that's the same reason why you're still alive. Because it's because of that. There's two types of companies, man. There's people, a company that's thriving, and there's a company that's surviving. And I know a lot of people that barely make it. And for me, the fear of fucking tomorrow we might be closed, it's that fire that's under my ass that, like, every week I pass out at least 500 flyers. I used to do more, but at least 500 flyers. And I go to a fucking stop sign and I'll fucking pass them out. It's fucking crazy. Like, here I am. We have over 80 employees and the owner of the company is still doing that shit. And it's because I'm scared, dog. It's because I'm like, fuck that, dude. I got to make sure we're selling, man. I have to. There has to be that fear factor, because as soon as you become complacent, as soon as you think you made it,
I agree completely, man. I agree completely. You
know? Yeah. So whenever you're going to celebrate something, celebrate it for a night, a day, or an evening, and move on, dude.
Yep. All right, so we're coming close to the end of the podcast, but I want to make sure that people can find you, find your book, find your motivational speaking, all that stuff. So where can people find you?
Okay, so I just started, dude, a YouTube channel. I should have fucking done this ages ago. I have 6 subscribers. So, but just for the record, I don't do it for the subscribers. I've been doing this shit for a long time. I just haven't put it on that platform. But you can find me on Facebook as Carlos Hernandez Motivational Speaker. I have that page. And I have my personal page of Carlos Hernandez. You can find me there. On my personal page, that's where I put a lot of my stuff. I'm starting to kind of funnel it to other platforms little by little. Now we have a little marketing department, so I'm able to toss those things to them. But they can find me on Facebook, on Instagram as Carlos Hernandez, on YouTube now as Carlos Hernandez. So those are some of the places. And, of course, if you guys want to purchase a book, it's just a couple of bucks, you know. It's called Built From Nothing. It's
awesome. I appreciate it, man. So last, before we leave, best piece of advice for anybody listening.
Okay. So the best advice that I can give a person, you know, that's wanting to change and is having trouble, is to shut off the self-talk that you currently have. Like, what you are telling yourself is harming you. When people make that connection that the obstacles that are in front of you, when you find out that you're putting them there, is when everything starts to change. In my book, it's a chapter, it's called The Podium Inside Your Head. So it's like Carlos, when Carlos would speak to himself back in the day, was negative thoughts, which is why I always say, don't let negative thinking hijack your potential. I'm always saying that because that to me is the beginning of you starting to see some real actual change in your life. So be very careful what you're telling yourself, because that is the root.
Awesome. Carlos, I appreciate you coming on the podcast, and I wish you complete success in the future, man.
Awesome, man. It was really nice talking to you. I really appreciate it. Your show, it's growing. I see it, man. I'm glad I'm a part of it.
Of course, brother. I'll talk to you soon.
Welcome to the Joshua Morales Podcast.